At the top of our program today, recently, Lansing School District officials acknowledged that an effort to save $750,000 in transportation costs fell seriously short. Last year, the district outsourced its bus transportation to Lansing's Dean Transportation, projecting a savings of $760,000. The district says it ended up saving about $6,000. With the district currently accepting bids to contract out custodial and other work, I sat down yesterday with Peter Spadafore, president of the Lansing School Board, to learn more. I first asked him to walk us through why hundreds of thousands of dollars in savings failed to materialize after the bus outsourcing.
Sure. To say failed to is a little bit of a misnomer. We did, in fact, add cost to the busing situation in the Lansing School District. We added 11 routes that weren't initially bid by the consortium. So that added about $285,000 in costs that we would have had whether we went with the consortium or ran our busing program ourselves. We also failed to provide some routing data to the consortium when we initially bid out the project. So that was unexpected as well. And I'll talk of those 11 buses were part of the extended day program at Eastern High School that was part of the turnaround plan for that school. So what it did is it moved the start time of Eastern 2 hours forward on Wednesdays, resulting in additional bus runs. And you've got to pay for those somehow. So those were costs that we incurred on our own. One of the other reasons was we saw that the consortium billed not as regularly as we thought, so we weren't able to catch the overage in time to reverse it. So we have asked the consortium, Dean Transportation, and our operations department to pay more close attention. But I do want to talk a little bit about the reasons that we went with the consortium. They were not purely financial. There's a level of service that we were hoping to provide our students and our families in the Lansing School District that we didn't think we were providing while running our own transportation department. So by consolidating into a professional organization that's sole purpose is to transport students, we're able to provide a higher level of service, a higher on-time rate.
Were you still expecting to see a net savings, though, of $760,000?
That was anticipated, yes. But as I said, there were some costs that we neglected to properly account for. We are still going to lean on the consortium to produce those savings. We view a lot of those overages as one-time costs that we can anticipate this time around. We won't be adding routes. In fact, the district is going to a district-wide late start on Wednesdays, so that will alleviate $285,000 in costs that weren't part of the original proposal as well. We did still save, you know, $6,000. It's not a lot of money in a $160 million budget, but we also received $1.5 million for our fleet. We deferred maintenance that we would not have to replace some buses. We had put off replacing a number of buses for a number of years. And every bus that we have to replace is about $80,000, give or take. So those are things that you're not necessarily reported on the front page, but they're things that we consider when we make those types of decisions as a school board.
What did get reported on the front page, literally, though, was inaccurate bus routes, according to the Lansing State Journal, were at least in part responsible for this unanticipated three-quarter million dollar expense. Why weren't the bus routes that Dean got accurate? I mean, that sounds inexcusable.
That sounds exactly right. We've asked the administration to look into that, and people have actually been, brought to task on that. That's something the school board was not very happy about to hear. You know, if we heard that all $750,000 was because we added service, that's something that's a little bit easier to swallow rather than, oops, we sent the wrong info over. So we've asked the administration to look into that. The folks that did provide that information, some of them aren't even in the district anymore. So it's all happened in the past. We're looking at moving forward. We have been overall very happy with our arrangement with the consortium. We view this as a long-term arrangement as well. So you've got a number of districts participating in this consortium. It allows us to consolidate that so we don't have 7, 8, 10 transportation directors throughout the county.
Any ramifications or disciplinary action considered for the people responsible? Are the key people responsible still with the district?
We've had a few folks turn over, but no one has lost their job over this. This is some of the things that were unanticipated, and we have a very complicated transportation system. $760,000 is a lot of money, but we also have spent a lot of that money on enhanced services to students. So some of it is not what I would consider negative. $285,000 of that or more is routes we added to the system.
Who ran the transportation department when the maps were submitted to Dean?
This was only the operations division, and I'll have to I can't give you the name of the person because I can't remember what year we submitted the transportation routes and whatnot, so I'd have to get back to you on that.
Peter Spadafore is our guest. Peter's the president of the Lansing School District Board of Education. We're talking about efforts, not always successful here, to privatize school services and other issues. Hindsight being 2020, if you had to vote over again on the bus outsourcing proposal, would you vote for it or against it?
This has absolutely been a successful program. We've seen enhanced service and more reliable transportation for our students, so that's a win in Lansing. I would be a yes again.
How should this have been handled differently, though?
You know, I'm not going to spend a lot of time reflecting on that, but I do think we've made some changes to ensure that this doesn't happen again. We have a better routing software now. We're working with the ISD to better understand our routes. We will be utilizing better ridership policies, and we'll be using hubs and a more district-wide calendar to ensure that bus routes are all streamlined across the district. So I think we've made a number of changes to address some of the concerns that have come out of this experience.
I'm wondering if you can clarify one detail in the State Journal's treatment of the transportation story, that there are 500 to 600 homeless children attending Lansing Public Schools. Is that number accurate?
Yes. We have a high homeless population in the city, and we transport those students. Under the old system, we relied on district-owned buses, a contract with a cab company here in town, and our own transportation.
But this is homeless in a way that an adult would be considered homeless? Nowhere to sleep homeless?
Varying levels of homelessness, yes. We pick up from shelters. We pick up from distant relatives' home where they're using as an address, a lot of different things like that. We have a homelessness situation in the city of Lansing, and we do our best to make sure that those students that are in that situation get the same education that every other student in the district gets.
500 to 600. What's the total enrollment of the district?
We're a little over 11,000 students.
That is, I found that amazing, and I had to try to clarify. There is another phase of privatization that's happening. The district is currently taking bids, I understand, on a facilities management contract. What would that cover?
Sure. That has gone out. There's an RFP out there sitting on our website, and vendors have a chance to respond. I believe they're doing interviews next week. What that will entail is custodial, grounds maintenance, facilities management, so things like dealing with the boilers and ordering supplies for cleaning and taking care of our facilities. We've had some issues with getting, the grass mowed in a lot of places, or we've got some open custodial positions. We've got to do our due diligence to take a look at these options. We've put out an RFP. Our contract is up right now for those services within the district. This is the time to do those types of exploratory exercises.
Does the unexpected outcome of the transportation contract with Dean give you any pause over outsourcing facilities management?
You know, like I said, we want to make sure we have all our information correct, like we did, like we want to with the buses going forward. So we will be doing a very strong evaluation of what our costs truly are right now and what the operation looks like. It does make me want to, do an extra round check over the proposals that come in. But as I said, I've had a positive impression of our experience with the ISD Transportation Consortium. So I'm waiting to make a decision on this until we've seen all the data from the administration and those that present proposals to us.
You also serve as a co-chair of a bond committee that's looking at pretty comprehensive changes in the district, Eastern students to the Patton Gill building, and a host of other moves. It's called, as you referred to it, the Pathway Promise. What's at the heart of the Pathway Promise?
At the heart of the Pathway Promise is making sure that we prepare every student for their post-secondary options. You know, we have the promise here in Lansing, and we want to develop pathways that get students to those promises so that they're utilizing those promise dollars at higher education institutions, community colleges, vocational training, those types of things. So what we're hoping to do is develop an academic model that clearly spells out from pre-kindergarten until you leave the Lansing School District the options available to you and the pathways we'd recommend you take to fully realize those options. And we need to then address our facilities. You know, most of our buildings are eligible for AARP membership. The average age is over 55. So we're looking at renovating district-wide these buildings to make them suitable for a 21st century learning environment. And that's just not possible in some of our spaces. So the bond committee, and I want to be clear too, the bond committee has made some recommendations to the board, and the board is now thinking on those and deliberating. And we had an extensive discussion at our retreat Saturday about, you know, questions about this proposal, things we might do differently if it was up to, you know, and it is up to the board, but in our final decision. But the proposal from the bond committee comes up with three high schools and three distinct pathways that would require about $120 million in renovations. That includes adding on to what is currently called Patton Gill Middle School and the deacquisition of the Pennsylvania property that currently houses Eastern High School. The proposal that was put before the board would move the Eastern High School from Pennsylvania to the current Patton Gill building, and then move the Patton Gill Middle School over to a K-8 building on the current Fairview site, and then renovate that. It also calls for renovations at a number of our schools, including Sexton and Everett.
What do you say to critics who have maintained that the Lansing should only have two high schools and not three? This would keep three, obviously.
Yeah, this would keep three. We are still deliberating on that. The bond committee thought three was the way to go, and it fits with the pathway promise that is the academic plan that's driving these changes. The board has had some discussions about the possibility of going down to two high schools. It's not off the table yet. I wouldn't say it's a certainty, and I wouldn't say this pathway promise is a certainty, but what is certain is we have a timeline in front of us that the board will have to take a look at to get a bond proposal on the ballot for May of 2016.
Peter Spadafore has been our guest. Peter's the president of the Lansing School District Board of Education. We've been talking about privatization, outsourcing, and, of course, the pathway promise. Thanks for joining us.